blood ran red. There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. And there's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus. And there's a place where sin and shame are powerless. Where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you. Here my hope is found, here on holy ground. Here I bow down, here I bow down. Here, arms open wide, here you save my life. Here I bow down, here I bow. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus.
Light turns green. That's better, isn't it? I can even hear myself. Good to be with you all this morning, East End Baptist Church. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Randy, for leading us in worship this morning. I understand that over the past few weeks with Dr. Sam, I don't know what y'all call him. I call him Dr. Sam. Known him for several years. Sam Roberts said that you guys have been working through the prayer, the CP share. So let's take a minute and read those prayer points. Be praying for Bear River Church in Evanston, Wyoming, with Aaron and Angela Leggett. Aaron's from here in Arkansas. I think most of the guys on the CP share are from Arkansas. Pray that God would lead them and summer teams to people of peace who will be relational influencers of the gospel. Pray for the Leggett family to remain faithful, adjust well, and thrive spiritually. Can we take a minute and lift up these fellow Arkansans on the mission that God has sent them on? Can we do that this morning? Lord, we come before you this morning thanking you for your goodness and grace, thanking you for Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Thank you for Aaron and his wife as you have sent them to Wyoming, to Bear Creek, to church plant. God, we pray your blessings on them right now. We ask, Lord, that you would fill them with their spirit. And even this morning, as they gather together for worship, Lord, that your spirit would move, that you would touch hearts and lives and transform them by the power of the gospel. We lift up the Leggetts to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. My name is Tim Wicker, team leader for the church planting team here in Arkansas at the Arkansas Baptist State Convention. If I look familiar to you, it's not because you saw my poster at the post office. You know, I was here several years ago, back in 2013-14, filled in for several weeks during that time of interim for you all. And so when Dr. Sam asked if I'd be available today, I jumped at the chance to come back and see you all. I have with me my lovely bride of 37 years. She doesn't look that old, does she? She's not. I robbed the cradle. But so thankful to have her here. I had just a little bit about myself. We have four kids, four grandkids, two grandkids on the way. Grandparents, y'all know what that means, right? Those grandkids are better than the kids. Way more fun, way more important. But we are excited that by maybe not this time tomorrow, but by tomorrow evening, we'll have them all in the house. We're excited about that. I'm going to be glad to be able to go to work during those times when everybody's all together there, but thankful to get to see everyone over the next week or so. Another time of transition for y'all. And this morning I hope to encourage you through the word that God has not been caught by surprise, right? We recognize he is sovereign. He is over all. He still has a plan for East End Baptist Church. He has a plan for East End. He has a plan for each of us. And regardless of the circumstances, COVID, transition time or not, God still has a plan and purpose for us. Amen? When we think about God and when we think about the attributes or nature of God, we often think of those big omnis, right? God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. God is sovereign. He is holy. He is love. He is grace. He is mercy. And praise God, he is all of those and so much more. But this morning, I want to remind you of the fact that by his very nature, that God is a missionary God. He is all about sending. He is missionary by nature. The word mission comes from the Latin word missio, which means to send or be sent, right? The dictionary definition of mission is an important assignment carried out for political or religious reasons, typically involving travel on which someone is sent or sends. So it's an important assignment that we are sent to go do and sent to be a part of. God is all about an important assignment that he sends people to accomplish, that he has sent Jesus to accomplish, that he sends us to accomplish. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 20, verse 21. John chapter 20, verse 21, you know this verse. If you've been in Vacation Bible School as a kid or elsewhere, this is John's version of the Great Commission. John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus is raised from the dead. He is commissioning his disciples to go out. And John's version of that, what John captured in Jesus, is found in verse 21. And Jesus said to them, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me." Y'all know the rest, right? "So send I you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. As the Father has sent me," Jesus says to us, his followers, his church, "as the Father sent me, I'm sending you." Lord, we come before you again this morning, thanking you for your words. Lord, I ask that you would speak to our hearts and minds today. Remind us of that great purpose that you have for us as a church, for us as your church, your people. Lord, that we might bring glory and honor through you, through our lives, through being a part of the mission. Lord, we love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to take a few minutes to look at, think about, and talk about the missionary nature of God, or the sending nature of God. And as a result of that, the implications of God being a sending God is who we are, the sent nature or the missionary nature of the church. We are no longer in a Christian culture. Y'all get that, right? Doesn't take long to look at the news to realize those days where everybody went to church and it was important to be a part of a church and we had a Christian culture, those days are gone. And we as believers, we as a church have to take a different posture. We can no longer say, y'all come, right? It's not natural. It's not normal. It's not even the norm for people to say, hey, like Brother Randy did, I'm going to find a church wherever I move, all right? He shared his story with me this morning. That's not normal. Most of the time, folks get up on Sunday morning and say, man, I got a day off, right? We as a church have to take a different posture from being y'all come to recognizing ourselves as being sent, being missionaries to this new culture. And it comes from the very heart of God. It comes from the very beginning of God. We are sent ones. Individually, corporately, we are sent on a mission, a very important task. We have a job to do. We are missionaries. We have been sent by God. We're going to run through a couple of Old Testament, a couple of New Testament stories, and remind ourselves of the fact that we are a part, as believers, as followers of Jesus, as sent ones, we are a part of God's cosmic plan. From the very beginning until today, until the end of time, we're a part of what God is doing in the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? On the sixth day, he created Adam and Eve, paradise. What he meant for all of us is what Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. They had great harmony, fellowship, right relationship with God. Every day they'd gather together and hang out with God face to face. Communion, perfect, what all of us were really created for. In that process, God said, you can do anything. You need eat anything, go anywhere, do anything, just stay away from that. That tree, right? The knowledge of good and evil. You guys know the story. They disobeyed God. They broke that perfect, loving relationship, and sin entered the world. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. People long for and look for good. They long for and desire to have relationship because that's what they were created for. Mankind sins. People sin. What happens when sin comes in? Death, separation. They lost that intimate relationship with God. And so God comes to the garden and pronounces his judgments because of sin. He pronounces death, loss of relationship with God, sweat, pain. But even in that judgment, even in that he could have annihilated everybody and everything and started fresh, even in that, God brings hope. Even in the midst of the judgment, he brings hope. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the wild beasts and all the living creatures in the field. On your belly you will crawl, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. Her offspring will crush your head, and you will attack her offspring's heel. Theologians call these verses the proto-evangelion, the pre-gospel, where God promises to send somebody through the seed of a woman to bring people back into right relationship with God, to crush the enemy, to kill the enemy. Although he might get bit in the heel, ultimately he will kill or defeat Satan. God creates people, mankind, humans in his own image, to love and to bless and to have right relationship. Again, that's what we all long for in the inner sides of all of us. Man sins and severs that relationship, turns his back on God and walks the other way. That's what sin is, right? Turning our back on from God and going our own way. So what does God do? Even from the beginning, God pursues us. God goes after us. Even when we were dead in our transgressions and sins, God pursues a relationship with us. C.S. Lewis called God the hound of heaven. to mankind, to people, to his recreation, he says, I love you. I want you. I want to have a right relationship with you. Even though you've turned and gone your own way, I am coming after you. And so he promises to send someone to make things right. And of course, we know who that is. That is Jesus. Throughout the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we see mankind, we see people like you and I, people like our neighbors, going our own way, going down the wrong path, making a total mess of our lives. Amen? That's what we see every day. All the messed up stuff is people in sin going their own way, trying to get back to that right relationship that they had with God, that inner meaning. They make a total mess out of their lives. And throughout the entire Old Testament and New Testament, we see God responding. We see God pursuing them. We see God pursuing them throughout the Scriptures. And he does so. He comes to the rescue by sending angels, sending donkeys. But most often, he does so by sending people to help, people to bring folks back into right relationship with himself. When there's famine in the land, God providentially sends Joseph to Egypt to save the nations. And what does Joseph say in Genesis 45, verse 5? What you meant for evil, God meant for good. I am here. As he's talking to his brothers, Joseph says, what you meant for evil, trying to get rid of me, God meant for good. Now I'm in a place to help rescue my people. Amen? God sends people. Doesn't always fit the way we think, and Joseph didn't know what was going on during the midst of it, but he was literally sent by God to save the nation. Just a few chapters later in Exodus, as the Israelites are captive and they've been in captivity for years, God says in Exodus chapter 2, I have seen the needs of my people, I have heard their cries, and I have come down to save them. And then he turns to Moses and says, Moses, go. Release my people. God sends Moses in response to the needs of his people. Later, God sends judges, he sends prophets, he sends Elijah and Elisha, Samuel, and even kings to lead the people back to God over and over again through the judges. Over and over again, we see people wandering from God, and he sends a judge, he sends a prophet, he sends a king to bring his people back into right relationship with him. Mankind, people like you and I, continually turn from God, yet God continually sends. He's got that missionary mentality that says, I've got to go after them and get them and bring them back into right relationship. And he does throw through people. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, God asked who he can send to preach, to prophesy of his coming judgment. And how does Isaiah respond? Here I am, send me. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go and be your mouthpiece. I'm willing to go and help bring your people who have turned away from you back into right relationship with you. Another really interesting passage in Isaiah is Isaiah 61:1. One and following. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. He has sent me to proclaim the year of our Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. He has sent me to provide for those who grieve in Zion and to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Isaiah saw himself as being sent to bring people who are in mourning and are in difficulty and are captive out of that into back into a life of freedom, a life of relationship with God. What's really cool about that passage is that it is that same passage that Jesus quotes when he goes into the temple, when he goes into the synagogue in Nazareth on the Sabbath day. He stood up and he read this very passage, right? Remember that? He reads this passage and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the regaining of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of our Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it to his attendant, and said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your presence." What Isaiah was sent to do, Jesus says, I've been sent to do. What Jesus was sent to do, he tells us in John 20:21, "So Father sent me, I'm sending you." Those marching orders that Isaiah had, that Jesus had, are the same marching orders that we have as a church. It's not only in the Old Testament that we see this sending nature of God, this heart of God to go after people and bring them back into right relationship with him. We see it throughout the New Testament. Nowhere better do we see this, I think, than in the book of John. I mean, it starts out, doesn't it, with God. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." God came. God sent his Son to this world to do what? To bring people who are separated from him because of their sin and their guilt and their shame and their brokenness, to die on the cross for those sins so that he could bring them back into right relationship, forgiveness and grace and new life in him. Amen? That's what Jesus was sent for. He came. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave, that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life." Jesus was sent to restore, to forgive, and to heal. John 3:17, "Jesus was sent from God not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Not only did Jesus come to die on the cross for our sins and for the sins of anyone who would trust in him as Lord and Savior, but he was sent to do the Father's will. Three times in John, he says these words, "I have not come to do my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me." Four times he says he came not to speak his own words, but to speak the words of the one who sent him. Jesus was sent. Jesus was sent to bring people who are separated from him back into right relationship with him. Not only was Jesus sent, but he also sends, right? "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." John chapter 14, verse 15 and following, he promises to send a helper to help us in the task that he is giving us to do. The Holy Spirit, right? To comfort and to lead us and to empower us for the mission that God is given to us. In John chapter 17, verse 18, Jesus says that the Father sent him into the world as he has sent us into the world. John 20:21, again, "As the Father sent me, I'm sending you." To do what he did. To be the body of Christ here and now. To be Jesus, right, in East End. We've been sent here for a purpose. We've been sent here with a mission. It's the same mission that Jesus was sent to do. To help people who are separated from him in their sin, in their, can I say, knuckleheadedness? I mean, in their people are messed up. And let's not get too haughty. You and I are messed up. People are messed up, right? We've got this sin nature that's causing us, that's leading us, that we're following, and it leads us down the path to death and destruction. God says, I'm not satisfied with that. I've sent Jesus to die for those sins, and I'm sending you, church, to go after them, to help bring them, to tell them the good news, to help bring them back into right relationship with me. The rest of the New Testament follows the life of the apostles, the sent ones, going and proclaiming the good news that God loves them and has provided a way to forgive, to make right relationship, to help people become who they were created to become, what they were originally created for. Paul, Peter, John, Mark, Silas, Luke, Epaphroditus, ordinary people. Ordinary people, no better, no worse than you and I, yet yielded to the mission that God had given them, saying, we will do what God has sent us to do, to bring people back into right relationship with Him. The summary of the New Testament, the Father sends the Son into the world to save the world, to bring them back into right relationship with Him. The Son sends His followers to the world to do the same thing. The Holy Spirit is sent to enable us, to equip us, to prepare us to do the work that we've been called to do, to be on that mission, that most important task, not for Him, but with Him. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you with the Holy Spirit to do what I've been trying to do and accomplishing throughout cosmic history, to bring people back. That's what God's all about. And the reason we're still here on planet Earth is because there's a lot more people that He wants to save. There's a lot more people that He is sending us to bring back into right relationship with Him. I look at those words of Jesus where He says, you know, I've got given you the Holy Spirit so you can do more than I could do, greater things than I have done. Not necessarily quality-wise, but quantity-wise, if we think of Jesus being one guy and us being tens of thousands of believers, we're everywhere. We have the ability to reach people and multiply and bring more and more people back into right relationship with Him. Two closing thoughts. As I think about the sending nature of God, I think about how much God loves us, how much He loves people. I mean, from the very beginning, when people went off, He was like, no, I'm not satisfied with that. I love you. I created you in my image. I want that for you. I want to give that to you. And by His grace and by His love and by His mercy, He has sent and continues to send so that people whom He created, people that live around us, people that are down the street, those people that we don't like, people that get on our nerves, God loves them. He loves people so much that He has from the beginning of history and continues to pursue a right relationship with them. I think about how much God loves us, and then I think about how much God not only loves people, but wants to use us to pursue Him. God loves us so much that He's going to let us join in on the fun of reaching people, seeing lives transformed. We've got that opportunity, don't we, as followers of Him. I asked a question. I think, okay, when we think of East End Baptist Church, who has God sent us to? Well, clearly He sent us to East End, right? He sent us to our neighborhoods. He sent us to our workplaces. He has sent us to our schools. Wherever we are to live as people who are sent. Sent by God with an important mission of helping people who have wandered from Him in their sin and bringing them back into right relationship with Him. I heard this morning, I believe Brother Doug was telling me, that just down the street there's two new subdivisions being put in with 600 new homes each. Yeah, another 1,200 homes, another 24, 25, 3,000 people moving in this area over the next few weeks and months. It's not enough for us to be here and to open our doors. We, Eastside Baptist Church, we as followers of Jesus have got to live as those sent. We've got to go after them. Not for the purpose of filling up this building, but for the completion of the mission that God has given us. helping them come to know Christ, helping them find the forgiveness that we have found in him, helping them not just secure a place in heaven, but to transform our lives that we might bring glory and honor to him throughout the process. There are people all around us who continue to sin and make a mess of their own lives. Yet God continues to pursue them and has sent us to pursue them to bring restoration and hope. The world's messed up. No argument from anybody in this room. The world is messed up. Yet God wants to fix it. He sent people, then Jesus, then the people of Jesus with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He sent us with God's helpers right here, right now, where we are, has sent people on an important mission to help bring people back to God. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You may be here today needing forgiveness, needing new life. You may be so messed up right now because of the consequences of your sins that you have been separated from God. Let me tell you this morning, God loves you. God loves you so much that even from the beginning of the time, he prepared a way for you to receive forgiveness, to receive new life, and life everlasting. He sent Jesus to die for your sins so that you would not have to die for those sins. He sent Jesus to give you new life that you were created to have in him. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, even during this time of invitation, I'm going to be down front. Love to share with you how you can be saved, how you can be rescued, how you can be forgiven and healed. As we have this time of invitation, I'm wondering, if, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus this morning, if God has not laid someone on your heart. It may be a friend, it may be a relative, it may be a neighbor, maybe somebody that you work with. If God's laid somebody on your heart, recognize that this morning is God reminding you that you're in their lives for a reason, that you've been sent to be Jesus, to speak Jesus, to help bring them back into right relationship with him. It may be this morning during this time of invitation, you just want to come to the front and kneel and pray for that person, pray for that opportunity, whatever the Lord leads. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word and the truth of it. Lord, we pray that you would allow us, that you would help us to live sent, to live as missionaries in an unchristian culture, to bring people back into right relationship with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have our hymn of invitation, I'll be here in the front. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, I'd love to share with you how you can be saved. And again, if you're here and God has laid someone on your heart to pray for, I'd invite you to just come to the altar. Pray for that person. Pray for the opportunity, however the Lord leads.
Stand, please. 434.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Thank you, Brother Tim. Thank you for being with us. We enjoyed having you today. Keep praying for us. We are going through a transition, and God's